Relationships. I think we all realize that as hard as we try to be self-sufficient and make it on our own, we're created to be in relationship with one another. There's a deep yearning on a level of our soul for companionship and for intimacy and closeness. And as we go deeper than that and understanding our own heart and spirit, there's a need to be aware of and experience the oneness that we truly have in the Father. So everything within us is drawing us into relationship. We realize how much we need that. No one is an island. No one can survive that way. At the same time, we're saddled with this human framework that the very thing we desire is being frustrated by the way we are. We have this in our soul, these pockets of fear, these pockets of insecurity, all the differences. So we come into relationship with another person wanting harmony, and yet we get a lot of conflict, disagreements, turmoil. I think that's very confusing. And we may be confused as to knowing what God is after in all this, but we need to understand God's intent. The misunderstanding comes when, as we experience problems in relationship, we know we need closeness, and yet we have trouble being close. We think that God is looking down, and His intent is to set a standard over us. Get it right. Be perfect. Be perfect in your relationships. And of course, we read all the scriptures about how we're supposed to do it the right way, and we feel guilt-ridden because of the things we do wrong in relationship. We're supposed to love one another, and then when we criticize and we get angry, we realize we're doing it the wrong way. Yet the intent of God is not to hold a standard of perfection over us, knowing that we can never achieve it. That causes a great deal of frustration, a great deal of soulish striving on our part that doesn't produce anything. The intent of God is, knowing full well He created us human and the problems we have as being human beings, His intent is that we grow by our relationships. His intent is not that they be perfect without conflict, but that the imperfections and the faults and the conflicts that we have in our relationships produce fruit. It doesn't mean we're not to achieve harmony in relationships, but having harmony and having God's blessing on our relationships does not mean they are going to be problem-free and without conflict. So God's intent is different than ours. And I think one of the problems we have is you become aware of this, and in relationships we tend to be self-centered and selfish. We're very needy, and we look at other people thinking, how can this relationship satisfy deep needs that I have? Now again, that's being human. And I think part of our relationships and part of being in relationship is to satisfy needs. But again, in God, there is a different motivation. It's not a self-centered thing of what can I get from others in relationship. But we look at other people and say, what can I give? It's a flow of love. How can I care for that person? How can I enrich their life? There's a motivation when we tune in and are on the same page with our Father of, Father, I'm in this relationship not just so I can get my needs met. It's not based on my selfish concerns. But Lord, there's something of an increase in You that's meant to happen between my heart and this other person's heart. How can I grow? It changes the way we relate to conflicts. Often in conflict, when we're ego-centered, we're looking at proving ourselves or defending ourselves. Someone's got to be right, someone's got to be wrong, and often people that are the most religious get caught up in this. You know, I've got to prove my point. That's really not the heart of the Father, because proving our point is all about how we look, our ego being intact. When we're on the same page with God and we're in conflict in a relationship, there's something else that comes out of our heart. It's, Father, how can I change through this conflict? What do You want me to learn? Not about proving my point, it's about what are You doing in this conflict? What are You trying to draw out of me? How do You want to change my thinking, my attitude? Whole different response. I'm going to look at First John. Now, last week, remember, I told you to turn to 1 Corinthians 3, and you didn't let me get there and finish it, so I'm going to do that this morning. But first, 1 John, chapter 4, verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. What's John saying here? God is spirit. We have natural senses. We don't see God with our natural eye, do we? Our natural senses aren't in tune to that realm. But if we love one another, God abides in us, God lives in us, God is real in us. And his love is perfected in us. I think this is a very, very profound scripture. It's very simple in the language. We can't see God. He's in another realm. And with our minds and our reasoning, we can memorize scripture, but still not perceive who the Father is. It's another realm. But if we love one another, in that love, God becomes present. He becomes real. Abiding, when you abide somewhere, it means you live there. You're alive there. That just hit me like a ton of bricks. When I'm moving in love in a relationship, I'm bringing the very life of God into that relationship. He's becoming real. I can't see him with my eyes. I can't really see him with my mind. I can't wrap my head around him, but his presence becomes real when I demonstrate his love. And that's why if you look down in verse 20, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Again, what's it pointing out? We can be religious and say we love God. Those are words. But John is saying to demonstrate that, for that to be real, you've got to show it with the people in your life. It's how we treat one another. That's the demonstration of whether or not we love God. So God becomes real, present, when we're moving in love. That's the motivation. That's why God brings us together. Not to have our needs met, that's a byproduct. Good relationships mean you're going to be happy. You're going to find harmony. Those are good things. But we're brought into relationship so that we can discover this flow of love, this care and concern for one another. And in that love, God becomes alive. And where God is alive, we change and we grow. Back to 1 Corinthians 3. Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church. Now, do you remember the Corinthian church? Would you say they were gifted or not gifted as far as spiritual gifts, ministries? Do you remember? They were pretty progressive. Yet Paul is saying, I could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink and not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. And now you're not able to receive it. For you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not mere humans? What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you've believed. Okay, we have a state of immaturity. Would you say, at this point in time, the Corinthian church is not growing? They're not growing, are they? Why? Because they're not relating correctly. They're not in right relationship with one another. Now, the example he's given here, it's very interesting. I touched on this last week. What were they doing? They were serving their apostles. They were expressing their loyalty, saying, I'm of Paul, I'm giving my life to him. No, I'm of Apollos. Yet Paul is looking and saying, you're not relating correctly. And because you're not relating correctly, you're stuck in that state of immaturity. And I can't bring to you the meat of the gospel. I can't speak to you like I'd like to speak to you. Because there's no growth taking place. Even when we have loyalty, and I know we talked about this last week. I don't. Maybe it's worth mentioning again. We can be serving ministries that are anointed of God. There's nothing wrong with that. We're called to be Timothys in a sense. We're called to serve those that have an anointing. We're called to be loyal. But if it's done in a wrong way where the Lord is not first and we're not aware of Jesus Christ as our head, there's no growth taking place. And like I spoke last week, you can recognize the anointing on a person and still not benefit from that anointing if you're not in right relationship with the head, Jesus Christ. So this is what was happening. Paul is saying, who are these people? Who am I? Who's Apollos? Servants through whom you've believed. Servants through whom you've had an experience of faith to believe in Jesus Christ. I planted, verse 6, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Here you have it. When relationships are right and that love is flowing in the body, what are we aware of? God who's causing growth. We're aware of Christ coming forth. When the relationships are not correct, what are we aware of? Human personalities. Good or bad. It can either be human personalities like, aren't they great? I've got them on a pedestal. Or we're aware of, man, I can't stand that person. Look what they're doing. We're either embroiled in criticism and negativity, or we're putting people on pedestals. Either way, we're aware of the flesh. We're aware of personalities. We're not aware of the Christ coming forth and the growth coming forth. But when Jesus Christ is head, every joint fitting together, the body functions as it's supposed to, which means the love is flowing, that concern for one another, and there's change. When we talk about growth, what does that mean? It means your thinking's changing, your attitudes are changing. That treasure within is not some theory locked away somewhere, but you're becoming aware of that treasure, and that treasure is growing within you. He's increasing, so other things are decreasing. It's interesting as we look at this approach to growth and what we want from relationships. I think so often we get upset with ourselves and our responses, don't you? When you get negative to another person, you think, oh, I know I'm not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to love, but they're driving me nuts. And, you know, in marriages and friendship, whatever. And that frustration doesn't produce change. Feeling bad about relating incorrectly doesn't make you relate correctly. It just makes you feel worse. But if we get into this awareness of God's intent for growth, it is so liberating. Because when we can be in relationships and we can focus on God, forget about the conflict here. I'm not going to focus on that. How are you going to change me through this conflict? What are you trying to show me? Okay, what happens? He is increasing. And if he's increasing, what's happening to those faults that we have? They're decreasing. Displacement. If we're aware of the Lord coming forth, then the very negative things that we're trying to get rid of are decreasing because of his presence. It takes us out of that soulish striving, that frustration of feeling bad about ourselves, trying to change ourselves, and basically just spinning our wheels to where we can realize that, Lord, all I have to focus is on you coming forth. And those that I love in my own life, everything else will decrease if you're increasing. Okay, we go on down. Paul is talking about God who causes the growth, and that's the whole focus. Now let's go down to verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation. Another is building upon it, but let each man be careful how he builds upon it. Now, Paul was freed from that ego thing. It's like he didn't collect people unto himself. He wasn't saying, I'm your apostle, I'm laying a foundation, I'm going to build on the foundation, I don't trust somebody else and what they're going to tell you. Paul was saying, hey, you listen, I put something in your heart, another ministry is going to build on that, I may plant, another's going to water. His ego wasn't involved in it. But he did say, let everyone be careful how he builds on it. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Christ is our foundation. Paul is saying, don't be attached to me. What's important is what's built on that foundation, spiritual growth. Other people are going to be involved with it. But let's be careful. What needs to be built is what the Lord wants to bring forth. So he had a definite concern about people and what they were going to receive and how they were going to grow, but he wasn't trying to control them. If anyone builds upon the foundation with gold and silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, verse 12, each one's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each one's work. If one's work which he has built upon it remains, he receives a reward. And he goes on from there. If it's burned up, they suffer loss. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and the Spirit of God indwells in you? What he's saying is, from the relationships, this right relating, it's a foundation laid in Christ. What's being built on it is, we're talking about our growth. That process of growth is an establishing of gold and silver, the attitudes that we want to have, the attitude of our Lord, the Father's heart, his thinking. But what's also happening? Wood, hay, and stubble. That's also being built at the same time. The Spirit is building in your life, and your own ego, the false ego, is also trying to build. It's the fire of God that comes that burns up the wood, hay, and stubble, and what remains is the gold and silver. We're talking about the process of purifying. When we're in right relationship, it's God who moves through us like a fire, removing that that does not belong so that what does belong can be strong. It all has to do with relationship. 1 John says what? God is love. But the word also says our God is a consuming fire. The fire of God is manifest and experienced where his love is flowing. Now, we have a lot of other types of fire, don't we, in our emotions. There's the fire of anger, of resentment, and bitterness. Now, these things are not connected with love, and they don't do anything but destroy. But the fire of God, which is a purifying, releasing us from bondage, bringing forth his nature, that fire is always tied in to his love. Where his love is present and flowing, his fire is going to be burning up the wood, hay, and stubble and establishing the gold and silver. It's all taking place at the same time. And we look at this purifying process, and I think we have problems with it because we have our own ideas of what needs to be taken out of our life. There's the obvious. You look at your faults. You say, well, that's obviously wood, hay, and stubble. And God will say, okay, I agree. We can be on the same page with that. But there's a lot of other things that we're not on the same page with God. We look at things in our life, let me say our spiritual pride, which is tied into our image of what we project to other people. Well, that's got to be gold and silver because I want people to esteem me for this image and how they see me. Got to hold on to that. And God looks and says, no, that's just wood, hay, and stubble. That's all about your ego. It has nothing to do with me. You see, the gold and silver is all about who Jesus Christ is in you. Not about some religious image, some self-righteous image. So the difficulty when we're saying we're welcoming the fire of God is we have an idea of what needs to be taken out. Anything that embarrasses us, makes us look bad. You know, look at addictions. You say, well, yeah, boy, the addictions, one example would be, let's say, alcohol. You know, if that's troubling you or that's a real problem, obviously you think, well, how can Christ be seen through a haze of drunkenness? Well, how is Christ seen through religious addiction? How is he seen through someone that has that self-righteous image, parades around wanting everybody to see how spiritual they are? You see, it's all wood, hay, and stubble. All those addictions are blocking that revelation of Christ from coming forth. So the fire of God is not something we control with our thinking. It's not a self-improvement course. God is in charge of the process. And when there's that foundation of love flowing, when we're in right relationship, His fire will move through our life, removing everything that's a veil to the nature of Christ coming forth. There goes the hang-ups we want to get rid of, and there goes the spiritual pride that we may be holding on to because our ego is getting something out of it. It all gets burned up. Whatever doesn't glorify Him. And that is true, that is real liberty. So God designs our relationships for this purpose. Not to be free of conflict, but to be in a place where His fire can purify. But His fire will not be purifying, will not be evident, unless first there's that love flowing one to another. I don't know, this just hit me really hard. It says in 1 John, because they loved one another, they passed out of death into life. This is what this process is all about. Relationships are designed by God. We're being brought together so His love can flow and so He can be present as a consuming fire, freeing us so that His life can be seen through us and experienced through us. What a beautiful thing. Let's let the Lord give us a new perception about our problems in relationships. Let's not deny them. Let's not pretend they're not there. Let's not run and hide behind some religious spirit and try to strive for some perfection that we can never reach in our flesh. Let's open our heart and say, Father, I'm in relationship. It's not about me. It's about You. Open my heart. Let that love and concern flow to my brother and my sister. Instead of being ego-centered, like in Philippians 2, let me have that concern where I esteem others more important than myself. Because in that love, you're going to be real. And that's what's most important in life. And if you're real, then your fire will purify and remove all that needs to be removed. I don't need to be frustrated. I just need to allow You to be free in my life to do what You need to do. We're going to see a whole new level of spiritual perception with our relationships. You may think, well, the only problem in my life is I need some new people in it. My relationships need to change. No, you're probably connected with all the right people. But we're still not free enough to see one another after the Spirit. We have these fantasies in our head about a spiritual relationship, these idealized pictures of it's going to be just this wonderful lovey-dovey thing and no conflict, no problems. That's not what God is speaking. That's fantasy. The reality is they will be very human, very real, with lots of conflict, lots of problems, but because His love and fire are present, they'll be about growth and change and about the Lord being glorified in our lives. Let's stand.
I ran across something. We all try to reestablish and remain close in our contact with God as much as we can on a daily basis. And today, things about the fire of God taking away stubble, problems, difficulties, and building and allowing ourselves to be made to grow or help to grow with God watering. I was reading, and I ran across this prayer a couple of weeks ago that was just really, really meaningful in that regard to me, and so I thought I'd just pass it along to you, but it just simply said, well, because we want to grow, we want to, you know, difficulties in my life, dear God, take my boss away from me and I'll be fine, you know, that sort of thing. Nobody wants difficulties in their life, but we also want to grow, and I began to realize that the more we give away the gifts that have been given to us, the better chance we have of hanging on to those gifts. We have to give these things away. And I think that's part of what Paul was trying to say. Yeah. You know. Anyway, the prayer went like this, and it was just very, very meaningful to me. And it just simply went, God, I offer myself to Thee to build with and to do with as Thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do Thy will. Take away my difficulties, but that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of Thy power and Thy love and Thy way of life. May I do Thy will always. Amen. So that was that prayer. I thought I'd pass that along.
Beautiful. Thank you. I was thinking, too, about the marriage relationship. that comes together to perfect one another. They're stones sharpening stones, knocking off the rough edges, and creating a beautiful, round, fitting whole. So it's the same sort of thing in every other kind of relationship. It's sort of a marriage in the spirit with other people.
Yeah. You know, I think just one final thought, and we're going to sing a song together in closing. Gwen has requested it, and I agree. So often with conflict in relationships, it's sad to see where people will think, well, I'm with the wrong people, and just try to move around to different people. And doesn't this word help as far as it's not being with the wrong people? That can be the case in some cases. That can be true. But often, it's not the wrong people. It's just the wrong way of relating to the people in our life. And I think God wants to just liberate us in our thinking to realize we don't need to be somewhere else with someone else. We just need to be in a different place in our awareness right where we are and see his growth come forth. Be freed by that. Amen. Let's sing together. How about what song have we decided on?
The Lord, Thou Great Redeemer.
Doris?